Good morning. We're going to sum up this series this morning, and we've been talking about newness. What are the characteristics of the new man? What is expected from the new man in Christ? We know that once we come to Christ and we give our life to Christ, he is to be the whole purpose for our being. We are to focus on living for him daily, not just once, twice a week, daily. We are to put on this new character that has been renewed, the old put to death along with sin. We see not only in our own lives, in worship, but in our homes, in our workplace, in school, we are to be that new man. We are to be Christ-like. But so many today neglect such a great salvation. And there are many ways we can neglect such a great salvation. These Christians, they don't give time to his word. They don't give time to prayer. They don't give time to worship. And so when we look at these Christians, we see ones who are struggling. We see ones who will be pulled astray, will drift away. These are the same ones who will ask, why do I feel so far away from God? And of course, I would ask the question, do you give time to Scripture, to his word? Do you give time to pray, to talk to him? If it's no to both of those, I don't need to go on to the next questions, because I know this is the reason why you feel far away from God. Because when you neglect your marriage, what happens? That marriage won't work. That marriage won't last. When you neglect your vehicles, don't be surprised when your vehicle stops working. When you neglect your house, the place you live in, don't be surprised when things start falling apart. We can take it even further. Hey, if you neglect your health, don't be surprised when your body attacks you, when it slowly falls apart. We take care of those areas every day. We make sure we have daily maintenance with those things. But a lot of people neglect our salvation. They neglect God. And their souls fall apart. And so when we look at Hebrews chapter 2, let's look at the first two verses of our main text here. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, we must heed his word. The word heed means to take care or pay attention. We see many times we are called to be vigilant. We are to be sober-minded. What happened to the ones under the old law when they did not heed the commands of God? They were punished. The wrath of God, the judgment of God, rained down on them. We must understand that if we neglect his word, if we do not heed his word, we have something far worse coming. But yet many do so. Many will take his word lightly. They will not study. They will not live it. And for those people, I say, you better get right. When we look, When we look in Deuteronomy 28, the first two verses, Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. God here is telling his people, Israel, if you obey me, if you diligently obey me, if you heed my commands, this is what happens. I will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. When you study Israel from Exodus and on, when they listened, when they heeded the words of God, they were provided for. They were taken care of. They were given food. They were given water. They were given shelter. But when they chose to disobey, they lost everything, even their own lives. We look at many places, Exodus 32, which we studied, in which we're still studying Exodus, but Exodus 32, before that, God showed them who he was through signs and wonders, through his power. He brought them out of the land of Egypt, where they were under harsh environment. They were slaves to the Egyptians, but God freed them. And the things they saw God do to Egypt, you think would have brought loyalty, would have brought faithfulness. But what we see, once they got outside, they crossed the Red Sea, they start complaining. We don't have food. We don't have water. God being long-suffering, patient, provided them food and water. Then he gets into his commands to keep the Sabbath, to stay away from idols. Kids, children, obey your parents, honor them, so forth, so on. Ten commandments. They were provided for. But then here we are in Exodus 32. They created an idol, false god, a golden calf. What makes it even worse is the fact that Aaron, who would be the high priest, said, bring me all your gold, your earrings, everything, so I can make this golden calf. And once he made it, what does he say? Israel, this is your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the future high priest. We see the results of this. God wanted to wipe them out, but because Moses interceded for them on their behalf, God only took a few. We see the Levites were commanded to take their sword to go in, and they slaughtered that day 3,000 souls. A warning to them. Don't do it again. And so we see that wasn't the only time that Israel had disobeyed, did not heed the words of God. But we see the results of it. You see, hearers are different from doers. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Israel forgot what God had commanded them. That's what hearers do. They forget. The illustration used here of a man looks at his natural self in a mirror, and then he goes off and he forgets what kind of man he was. Hearers will hear, they will see, but then they go off and they forget. We have so many who forget what God has commanded us to do. They get tied up in worldly affairs. They get tied up. You know, I remember this documentary I watched, and they had these children, and he brought them into this room, and he showed them different pictures, you know, pictures of fast food restaurants, which all the kids knew. They even knew their jingles, right? You know, Burger King is Have It Your Way. I can't remember what McDonald's little thing is, but all these restaurants have these little catchy tunes that keep people wanting to come back. They have commercials with their perfect burger sitting there, and it makes you hungry. Those kids knew every one of those. But then he shows a picture of Christ. They had no clue who he was. I often say these people, these celebrities, athletes who promote Christianity, they quote scripture. If you got into a theological discussion, they couldn't go far with it. They know the very basic stuff. It's not good enough. We have people who will bring their kids to worship once a week, sometimes not even that. But they make sure their kids are at the sporting events. They make sure their kids are at the school events, whatever's going on. They push them to college. They push them to find a great job. How about God? How about their relationship with God? It's reality. This is what our world pushes. It doesn't push God. It doesn't push having a relationship with Him. It doesn't push truth. Your kids will not find, none of us will find truth out in the world. We will only find truth in His Word. And that's why it's so important that we heed His Word, that we pay close attention, that we take care of making sure we are walking according to God's Word, what is pleasing to Him. It's so important, but we neglect it. There's an average of 2 Bibles per household. Do you think those households stay in that Word? No. They end up on a coffee table as a decoration. They end up in a drawer in the nightstand, collecting dust. And they wonder why they are drifting away from God. Brothers and sisters, we must heed His Word. We must live for Him each and every day. It's not just a once a week, once a month, once a year thing. Some people only come to worship on 2 days a year, Christmas and Easter. Do you think that's enough to get you into heaven? No. Do you think that's enough to hold that relationship together? No. Imagine in a marriage, if you were only with your wife or husband twice a year, do you think that marriage is going to work? Imagine if you only took your vehicle in once or twice a year to get maintenance. Do you think that vehicle is going to last until the next visit? No. We must carefully heed, because in Matthew 7:21, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." We must understand those who know what the will of the Lord is and does it are the ones who will enter the kingdom of God. Those who just simply are hearers and say, "Yeah, I understand," but they go off and forget, they will not. These are the ones that will end up in a sinful life. It's important, once again, with this new man, this new character, that we are living for him daily, not just when it's convenient for us. We neglect God so much in so many ways. And there are many who feel no guilt or shame for it. And with that, once again, there is no escape from the coming judgment. When we look at verses 3 and 4 of our main text here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. When we look at the whole context of this letter to the Hebrews, we must understand there were many who left Christ and went back under the old law. And so the writer here was writing to them saying, look, here's the differences between the old and new. And guess what? The new is far better. Because with the new, we have Christ, who was the ultimate sacrifice, who came and died and rose again, whose blood washed away our sins. And let's not forget the signs and wonders these people saw through the apostles and possibly through Christ. Yet they still chose to neglect and go back under a law that could not save them. Once again, if the Israelites could not escape the judgment, could not escape his wrath, what makes you think you will escape the judgment, the wrath that is coming for us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, Paul to the Corinthians, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. We all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. No one will escape it. If you do, let me know. I like the first statement here from Paul. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Paul and all the apostles and all the disciples, their aim was to please God, not themselves, not the world, but God. Because we must understand, just because you show up once a week, just because your kid has a 4.0 GPA, just because your kid makes the pros, which when children tell me they want to be a pro athlete, I hope it works out. I do. I hope you do find a great job. I hope you do work hard in school. Absolutely, it's important. But it's not as important as the condition of your soul. I don't care if you get that promotion at your job. If your soul is not right with God, you're in trouble. None of that will matter when we stand before Christ. None of it. If we needed a GPA, a 4.0 GPA to get into heaven, I'm doomed. If I need to be a pro athlete to get into heaven, I'm doomed. We cannot neglect our Lord and Savior. We cannot neglect worship. We cannot neglect His Word. We cannot neglect prayer. These are vital to our survival spiritually in this sinful world. Yet so many don't. I often ask myself, why do these people who know the truth? There is a man I know, well, heard of, I should say, who would watch Phil Sanders religiously. Every Sunday morning he'd wake up to listen to Phil Sanders. He knew the truth. But yet he still chose not to come to Christ. He never accepted the truth. He knew the truth. He never accepted it. He never came. He never gave his life to Christ. He never was baptized for the remission of sins. And he died. And that's a tragedy. Then there are those who think, well, hey, I need to get right before I come to Christ. You're not getting rid of your sins without Christ. That's why he came and died. If that was fact, then Christ died in vain, didn't he? You're not going to get yourself right before you come to Christ. So to have this thinking of, well, you know what? I need to make sure I get rid of this bad habit and that bad habit before I come to Christ. No. Throw that thought out the window. Burn it. You know the truth. If you know the truth and you're hearing it this morning, you need to answer that truth. You need to answer it now. Don't wait until I'm done here in a few minutes. In Jude 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. To this day, they have an idea of where Sodom and Gomorrah stood. But guess what? They're not for sure. God wiped them off the face of this earth because of sin. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, absolutely, God loves us. He loved us while we were sinners. But he does not condone a sinful lifestyle. In Romans 8:38 through 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Absolutely, nothing can separate us from the love of God. He loves us. But we must understand that he calls us to come and repent and to become his children. By obeying, believe and obey. He will honor your decision. If you decide to live a worldly, sinful lifestyle, he will honor it on the day of judgment. But mark my words, you will regret holding on to that decision. You will regret not coming to Christ. And I don't want to see anyone be cast into eternal punishment. Nobody does. No, none of us Christians here want to see anyone lose their souls. Hebrews 9:27 through 28. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him will appear a second time apart from sin, for salvation. Christ is coming back. We do not know when he is coming back, but we know he will be back. It will be in the twinkling of an eye. One day the clouds will part and Christ will come back. All of this will be destroyed. All will be destroyed, and we will be called up to him, and we will be judged according to what we have done in this life. And for those who never answered the call, who never gave their life to Christ, they will stand in judgment. To those who neglected such a great salvation, it will not be a good day for us, for those who had chosen to walk a life of sin. And so this morning, I pray for those who are here who are not Christians, answer that call. Time is running out. Time is running out. Give your life to Christ this morning. Be heirs to the kingdom. And you will inherit great things. Most importantly, you will inherit eternal life. We'll be with God forever, worshiping him forever, be in his presence forever, which is far better than being separated from him for eternity. Give your life to Christ this morning. This is how you do it. You must hear the word, Romans 10:17. You must believe, John 3:16-17. You must repent of your sins, change one's mind, Acts 3:19. Then you must confess your faith in Christ Jesus, Romans 10:10. But you don't just stop there. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Galatians 3:26-27, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:15-16. Then you must remain faithful. You must be doers, not just hearers, Hebrews 10:23. This is how you come to Christ. This is how you accept him, and you become one with him. Or if you are a Christian and you've fallen back into your old ways, don't wait. Make yourself right with God once again, coming forth, repenting of your sins, and allowing the church to pray for you, to lift you up, to encourage you. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, answer that call this morning as we stand and as we sing.